Hey, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are in life. We are so glad that you're taking a moment to join us here at the Since You Asked podcast. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's been a couple weeks. Took a little break. Much needed. Summer. Yeah. Summer was busy. We got through summer. 15 episodes strong, and we just need a little break. We had a lot going on here at church.
Yep.
And but we're excited to be back. My name's Alex. I'm here with my co-host, Ben. Ben, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. It's great to be back in. We kind of had to readjust to the recording life and remember, like, how do we start this thing? So,
yeah.
I'm thrilled to be back. We got a whole list of new episodes, new questions to answer. And so, not a new season, but kind of a new season for us of Since You Asked, as we kind of jump into a whole new batch of questions. And so,
yeah. People probably think, well, I mean, they haven't recorded a podcast in a few weeks. They're probably just sitting around doing nothing. We've been hard at work, and we do have some great
episodes. Of us,
yeah,
is what I want to say. Hey, I won't, but it's what I want to say.
Yes. Yeah, so. We would never actually say that.
No.
But we would want to.
Mind your own business,
yes,
is what I would say.
But we've got some great episodes planned for the coming weeks, and some great coffees.
Yes.
Potentially some great coffees.
It is entirely possible.
We have coffees to review.
Yes.
And some of them will be great, and some of them might not be. So, what do we got today to drink?
Okay, so today we have this is kind of an exclusive coffee, I guess, if you will. This is German chocolate cake coffee, and this is from a company in the great state of Wisconsin, known as Door County Coffee. Yeah, you can check that out. We've got a local business, Turkey Knob Farm, that sells Door County Coffee. And so, full disclosure, I just took this from them today. So thanks for the donation. But no, I've had some of these blends before. And so I know it's great coffee, but this particular one, I'm excited to try. Big dessert guy. But you know as well as I do, I've told you before, I'm not a big sweet coffee guy. And so it's going to be interesting to see what, I love German chocolate cake, but I like black coffee.
Yeah.
And so we'll see the dynamic between the two.
How well does it walk that line between the two?
I want to know it's German chocolate cake, but I don't want it to be sweet like German chocolate cake, if that makes sense.
Sure.
So,
well, longtime fans of the Since You Asked podcast and truly devoted fans will recognize Door County Coffee. We, tasted one of theirs on episode 8.
I had forgotten about that.
Yeah, so it was obvious.
I'm glad they knew.
It was obvious that you did. Episode 8, Door County Dark Voyage.
Oh, okay.
So
this is not the first one.
Not
we
the first
reviewed
one.
Theirs. Okay.
But for those of you who are new, Ben has given you a great explanation of Door County Coffee and where you can find it locally.
Yes.
Between the months of mid-October and mid-December.
Yeah, and let them know that we sent you. You know, you never know what it means for us. So probably nothing.
Probably means nothing to Penny as well.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, oh, one of you guys.
Yeah, thanks. So, okay. So without further ado, German chocolate cake, Door County Coffee, one sip. Everybody knows the rules. Smells like German chocolate cake.
Yeah, it really does. It's amazing how you get that.
Wow.
Kind of. Is it pecans that's in German chocolate? You kind of smell that and a little bit of the
I get the chocolate, coconut.
The coconut.
I'm a big coconut fan too. I think, I'll just be honest, I think this would be a contentious coffee for people because I know a lot of people who don't like coconut. And I think there's enough of a coconut undertone in this that if you don't like coconut, you're probably not going to love this one. I, on the other hand, love coconut. So that will take into account.
I'm a bit indifferent on coconut.
Mm-hmm.
I can take it or leave it, but I don't feel like it's over. I do taste it.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like it's overwhelming.
It's not overwhelming. No.
And honestly, it's one of those things. It blends in well enough to where if you were unaware, if you just picked up this cup of coffee and drank it, you'd be like, oh, there's something unique. But I don't know if you'd be like, coconut.
Yeah.
There is coconut in this coffee.
You know what it makes me want, though? Actual German
a piece of German coffee. Yeah.
That's, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Ben, I have a question for you.
Okay.
When don't you want a piece of German chocolate cake?
That is, or any dessert. Man, it's a problem. I was doing really well in not eating desserts. Thanks for bringing that up, man. as there is like half of an apple pie sitting at my house right now that I'll probably finish today. So
Sounds good. Well, without further ado, I think we need to move on to the rating portion of this.
6.2.
Oh, wow.
It's good. Yeah. I really like it. Again, my forte is black coffee. And so I really like it. It's not a bad cup. Okay. I think I would have it. This is like a specialty, like a special occasion type coffee. I don't think I would drink this every day. I'm going 6.2. Where does that actually rank on what we've given others?
That is the exact same score you gave Zavita hazelnut vanilla coffee. Just under the Valiant vanilla that you gave Bones coffee.
That sounds about right.
Just under Pete's Big Bang roast, which was
6.6.
Full point under Squirrely Joe's.
Well, I mean,
7.7 is what you gave Squirrely Joe's. Come
on, you go up against a squirrel, like,
yeah,
that's tough competition.
I will say I actually have a higher score in mind.
Okay,
I was thinking 7.2. I really do like this. It's a good quality cup of coffee. Like I said, the flavor profile isn't overwhelming. It does taste like, I think it would be fantastic with a piece of German chocolate cake.
Yes. You know. Now that would bump me up to a 7.2.
Yeah. No joke, no comment on that one. So, that gives us a 6.7 composite score. That's just over Pete's Big Bang Roast.
Oh.
Right in line with Sunrise Valley Collective.
Okay. Gosh, some of these coffees I'm having a hard time remembering
yeah.
now.
But you know, Squirrely Joe is still 8.1, so it's head and shoulders above it. It really is.
It's
a really good coffee.
It is, mm-hmm.
And like you said, it is one of those where it's got the flavor kind of artificially added to the roasting. You know, the flavor is added while they're roasting it.
Yeah.
As opposed to notes of something.
Yeah. And I think that may be the thing for me is just the,
and we're also drinking artificial. This straight black, no sweetener added to it.
Yep.
Which with these sorts of coffees can make a big deal because you add just a touch of sweetness and it kind of makes those flavors pop a little bit more because they're artificially added. I find that that's not scientific. That's just the way I like it.
I just drink my coffee the way God intended, man. Just straight black. So,
thought about making a Kopi Luwak joke there, but
that's how God really intended it. Oh boy, we've done a lot here on Since You Asked. Yeah. Okay, so Door County Coffee, German chocolate cake, good stuff.
Yes,
good blend. So well done, Door County. But the squirrel still reigns supreme.
Absolutely. So.
Well, we've got a question today, Alex, that, it's an intriguing one. And honestly, it's one of those topics that is very circumstantial, very subjective. And so I want to preface it with this. Like, our goal today is not simply to answer the question, but also give you some criteria to view these certain things through. And so the question that came in is, are near-death experiences biblical? They certainly make the headlines, especially in Christian circles. You have books like Heaven is for Real. You have, isn't there like 20 minutes in hell and
23 minutes in hell, 90 minutes in heaven.
That's right.
The Boy Who Came Back.
Yes. So like bestsellers in the Christian genre. And so they get a lot of headlines, and I think it's really cool, the question, because people are wondering like, hey, how do we evaluate these things? And so it's our goal today to kind of pick apart some things a little bit from maybe some claims that have been made, but also just to give you the tools to, when you hear of stories, you can evaluate. The problem with this question is this. It is somewhat subjective in regards to, we are not people who have experienced these things, I would assume.
Fair.
Okay. And so I don't know. And I'll be honest, my personality is to approach these things somewhat skeptically. And so when I hear these things, my immediate reaction is, okay, well, let's explain that away. I'm not always saying that's good, but that's just my nature.
Yeah.
So I think the best thing to do is just, hey, let's look at the word, let's see what it says, and then let's use the scriptures to evaluate these claims that come into play after that.
Yeah. And I would say I'm pretty similar to you in that regard, to where it's, I want to go to scripture. I want to go to things that are replicatable. I want to go to things that are, repeatable, things that, you know, I can say that I've had this experience, but you can't prove whether I did or not.
Yeah.
And so naturally I'm skeptical of some of those things. Again, that's not to say that your claim is false. It's just,
right,
I have no criteria to base that on.
Yeah.
And so looking biblically, to my knowledge, I was trying to think through and study through as we had this question posed, are near-death experiences biblical? I found nothing in scripture that would support or have a story to where this person had a near-death experience.
Yeah.
And by near-death experience, I think what we're both talking about is a person who comes close to dying. Mm-hmm. And in those moments, maybe they, you know, a stereotypical experience, they see their spirit leaving their body. Mm-hmm. They're able to see what's going on around them in a way that they couldn't before, like a third person perspective. Yeah. They're taken either up into heaven or down into hell and receive visions and things, that they would not know otherwise.
Yeah.
So there's no stories in scripture where we see that take place.
Yeah.
Now we also have tried to be careful in the past, when we've talked about different spiritual gifts and the Holy Spirit and things that God can do. Is God able to reveal to people these sorts of things? I think neither of us would say that God can't do that.
Yeah.
That's not our place to tell God what he can and can't do. And so the question then is, have these people been given that experience from God?
Yeah.
That's again where we go to. We can't say that for sure, but is this something that we should view as trustworthy and reliable?
That is a perfect question, because I think the answer to that is no. And I don't mean that, again, like you said, I don't mean to approach that from, now that's totally false, didn't happen, you're a heretic. Like, that's not what I'm saying.
No.
What I am saying is, we don't need to view subjective experiences as absolute truth when we have absolute truth in the Word. And so, like, if you're going to put all of your hope in either the Word of God or an experience that you think you may or may not have had, like, the Word will be true. Mm-hmm. The Word is not changing. You can trust that. Experiences, just like emotions and feelings, like, they can lie to you at times. So one of the things that I view or use as a criteria to view some of these stories, the main one that comes to mind is Heaven Is For Real. Was it Colton Burpo? And he died and told his dad, Todd, about what he saw and family members that he saw and things that he would have no way of knowing, they claimed. A lot of my issue is this. One, I think you can sometimes go to, if there's a book being made that is profited from, you can kind of approach that skeptically. Not all the time. Sure. I don't want to paint that with a broad brush. However, I do think one of the things that strikes me is, a lot of times the main person in that story of what they've seen, what they've experienced, is often them. You know, it's here's what I saw, and it was beautiful, and I saw my loved ones, and I did these things, and, you know, all this. Instead of, I was absolutely wrecked by the glory of God and the person of Jesus, and, like, very rarely is he the main person in that story. You know, it's all, here's what I saw, and here's what I felt, and here's the relatives. And the other side of that is, in a lot of those stories you hear, all the relatives are there in heaven.
Yeah.
Again, could very well be, but more than likely, like, there's never an instance of, yeah, there was a few there, but there's a lot of non-believers that weren't in God's presence either. And so again, I know I'm kind of really tackling this from different areas, but I think you really have to look at, okay, well then, who is the main person in this story? And in a lot of these where they're being profited from, the person and their experience is the main character in the story, and not just the overwhelming glory of God that they, you know, may or may not, or they say they got a glimpse of.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know looking at a few of these, you know, two of them were written by Bill Weiss. 90 Minutes in Heaven, 23 Minutes in Hell.
Is that in the same event?
That's a good question.
I've heard the titles, but I've never read the books. So. Yeah.
I don't think so.
Okay. Two separate ones. Wow.
Yeah. I think what you've brought up is a great point, that when we look scripturally at people who are, even in the presence of the angels, mm-hmm. they are blown away. They are kind of taken aback and really struggle with words to say and express themselves.
Yeah.
And I think of it, it's Isaiah, right? When, yep. when he sees the angels in the temple and he's, his immediate response is, I'm a sinner. I'm unworthy of yes. this.
Yep.
And then you look at these books and it's, well, I was here and this happened to me and all yeah. these things. And like, man, when I'm in, and it's a very popular song. I'm sorry to offend anyone, but it's a little cheesy, but I can only imagine.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
But there's a lot of truth to that. Like,
yeah.
What will my heart feel like? How, yeah. like, I don't even know. I can only imagine what it's going to be like.
Yeah.
But there will be an overwhelming feeling.
Yeah.
At your presence, God, at the face of Jesus, yep. not at, and yes, it's a little selfish, but I don't think it's wrong to say like, I long to see loved ones yeah. that I know were believers in Christ. And I long to be reunited with them.
Yeah.
But that's secondary to, I'm going to be with Jesus.
Yep.
Yep. And I cannot wait to be face to face with him,
yeah.
to fall at his feet, to worship, to hug him, to thank him.
Yeah.
You know, it's just amazing. Whereas in these, you don't see that. Not to say that that person doesn't have that gratitude, but that's really not what came out.
Yeah. And I want to be fair to them. Like, there's a high chance that the editors or the publishers, that wasn't what would sell.
It doesn't sell books. Yeah.
And so I don't want to put all the blame on them sure. because I don't think that's a fair critique without actually knowing. But I think you're right, Alex. Like, I think the first thought that you're going to have is how little I deserve to be here in the presence of God. And so this overwhelming feeling of I'm not worthy of this, but on the other side, like, gratitude and thankfulness at the mercy of God that we are. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, like, I've got loved ones I want to see, but I suspect that that is not going to be my first reaction. You know, I'm not going to go find grandpa out fishing by the pond in heaven. You know, you hear yeah. some of those stories, and because my first thing is going to be being acutely aware of how merciful God has been to me and how glorious he is. And so, yeah, let's make this distinction here, Alex, because I think this is where things can kind of get kind of convoluted and kind of enmeshed where they shouldn't be. There is a big difference in near-death experiences and visions. Yeah. I do believe people see visions as God gives them some. Again, you got to evaluate them through Scripture. I think that's, again, the thing you always have to come back to. But there will be people that will advocate for the truth of all near-death experiences because of what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And it's interesting because Paul starts back in chapter 11 saying, listen, I don't want to boast, but there are these false teachers that are coming into Corinth, and they're saying that I'm not an apostle of Jesus, that I haven't seen him, that I'm not worthy to be trusted with the gospel. And so they're spewing this dissension among the church. And so he's like, okay, Here's my credentials. I don't want to tell you, but here's my credentials. And so he lays out all of these things that God has done in his life and the things that he's allowed him to see. And he gets to chapter 12, verse 1, and it says, I must go on boasting. So again, he's continuing talking about his own credentials. He says, although there's nothing to be gained, I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. Verse 2, and this is where this text really begins. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Again, it's on the tail end of him talking about his own credentials. Yeah. So he's talking about himself. Whether it was in body or out of body, I don't know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I don't know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things that no one is permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself. So again, it's like it's a catch 22. Like he's talking about what God has done for him and through him, not just
kind of being a little coy about it.
He is. Yeah. It's like, okay, you want to see that I'm worthy to be trusted with this message? Here's what God has done in my life. Mm-hmm. But they'll use that a lot to kind of validate all of these experiences. And what Paul says here is like, listen, I'm not even sure what happened. Like, I don't know if it was my body. I don't know if it was a vision, but God allowed me to see some things. And the point of that was to, again, get a glimpse of his holiness and also to spur me on in urgency of sharing the gospel message. Mm-hmm. And so I think one thing that has to be key is, does this near-death experience that maybe you've heard about and you're trying to kind of figure out, hey, is this something that is real or not, legit or not? Does it glorify Christ? Or is it a way of that person saying, look how spiritual I am now. Like, look at the things I've experienced. If the point of it isn't about Jesus and his glory and his mercy and what he's done, I got to be real skeptical about that. If you're the main character in that story and not Christ, I got to approach it differently than if it's like, here's what he allowed me to see. And oh my, I was struck with how good he is.
Yeah. And it is funny that is the passage that gets brought up so often for near-death experience. Mm-hmm. to validate it. It doesn't say that it was it just, Paul says that this is a vision that this person has.
Yeah.
And it never says like this person almost died and then saw these. It was just, this is a vision I had. And again, we're not saying that that's not possible and that God can't do that. But where does this line up with scripture? Yep. And so I would say if you're a person who enjoys some of these stories and these books, just with any other book that's written by man, I think we have to remember these are not scripture. And as you said, if you read 90 minutes in heaven and 23 minutes in hell, and your takeaway from it is, man, I don't know how accurate this is, but I think I want to rather be in heaven. And it spurs you on to, you know, I need to follow Christ and get in his word, or I need to make some changes in my life to make sure I'm not going the way of hell. Mm-hmm. Then God can use them in that way.
Sure.
But it is not the place that we should be going to get our robust view.
That's right.
Of heaven and hell.
Yep.
Again, that is what scripture is for. And I ran across this as I was kind of preparing for this. I knew there was one. I wanted to be accurate. I thought that most have, and I couldn't find the most, but I thought some or most of the authors of some of these books had come out and said, no, actually, I just made it up. Mm-hmm. But one of them did. The Boy Who Came Back from Heaven, Alex Malarkey.
Appropriately named.
Coincident. He was 6 years old. He was in a car accident, really bad, I think paralyzed, and said he was visited by angels, or told story of visiting angels and of heaven after being in this car crash. It was published in 2010. And in 2015, in fact, as early as 2011, I think, him and his mom both started speaking out saying, no, this isn't okay. Mm-hmm. And finally, in 2015, he wrote an open letter to Christian bookstores asking them to remove it from the shelves, asking because he said that this is not something that actually happened. And this is a quote from Alex. He said this: I did not die. I did not go to heaven. I said I went to heaven because I thought it would get me attention. Mm-hmm. A six-year-old boy who's going through a traumatic time. He said, when I made the claims that I did, I had never read the Bible. People have profited from lies and continue to. They should read the Bible, which is enough. The Bible is the only source of truth. Anything written by man cannot be infallible. And so, again, that is not to say that the other books, he is speaking of his experience and his book that is written partially under his name, at least. He's saying, you know, this is enough of this is fabricated. I don't feel comfortable with this. Mm-hmm. But I think rightly so. He says, listen, to these other books, he's not making a statement other than the Bible is the only source of truth.
Yep.
That is where we should get our information on heaven and hell. And honestly, even if those books are used by God to deter people from hell, deter people from heaven, they could get that same sense from reading the scriptures.
Yeah.
The Bible is enough to teach us about who we are, to teach us about who God is, and how we can make our relationship right with him, yeah. how we can avoid eternity separated from him.
Yeah.
And so I guess as my kind of closing thoughts is, are near-death experiences biblical? We don't see anything. Mm-hmm. Are these visions that other people have wrote about accurate? I can't say that they are,
yeah.
but I can say that scripture is.
Oof. Yeah.
And if you're getting your information about heaven and hell or your theology from those books, I would urge you to spend more time in scripture and get yeah. your information from there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you feel for, some of these people, some of them, mm-hmm. Especially the kids, like I feel for that because what probably happened was some adult took it and ran with it
yeah.
and thought, hey, there's money to be made here. So first of all, like for that guy to come out and say later on, hey, like this is not true, but point people to the Bible, like, oh, well done.
Yeah.
Like that's awesome. Yes, I think it is important that people realize that our emotions, our feelings, our perceived experiences need to be evaluated through the lens of the Bible and not the other way around. I think when we start to twist and shape the Bible and what it speaks from our experiences that we perceive or not, and then our own feelings and emotions, that's where things get dangerous. View everything through the lens of scripture and not scripture through the lens of everything else. And you'll find exactly what you said, Alex, this book is enough. Mm-hmm. You want to see the glory of God, you're going to find it here. You want to see God's love and mercy for you, you're going to find it in here. You want to see about God's judgment and his wrath for sinful men and women like those are apart from Christ, you're going to see it in here. But it's all here. Mm-hmm. Like, spend the time, take the time to dive in, and you'll see this word is more than enough. And so, yeah, I think that's a great place to end it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, we want to thank you guys for joining us for this episode number 15 of the, no, 16.
16, yes.
Episode 16 of the Since You Asked podcast. We will be back next week with a brand new episode tackling another one of your questions. Brand new coffee review. Yep. And so thank you all for joining us. If you've found this to be helpful or beneficial for you at all, make sure you leave a comment on whatever platform you're watching or listening on. Give us a rate, review, make sure you follow along for more information, more content coming to you each and every week. It is not only a huge benefit for the podcast to get out there, but I know that the comments that we get, it's more than helpful. I mean, it really is.
Yep.
It spurs us on.
Yep.
When the weeks get busy and we got things to do and like, man, we really need to record one of those. But it is a joy to get to do this yep. and to hear the stories about the impact that it's had on yeah, people, the absolutely. Conversations it started. So I want to thank you for those as well. If you have a question you'd like us to tackle in the future, you can reach out at question@redbrushcc.org, and we'd love to tackle that in the future. Or if you have a coffee recommendation,
yep.
we are always up always for that.
Ready and available to tackle
right.
those two.
And by the time this one comes out, the day before, October 1st, International Coffee Day.
Is that right?
Absolutely.
Well, we will be celebrating.
You got to know these things.
That's why you took off tomorrow.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. You dirty dog. Wow.
So thank you guys for joining us here today, and we'll see you next time.